This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Fox is the senior sports betting analyst at Yahoo Sports. You can follow him, I do, on X on Twitter, at BFox22. One of the reasons I like Ben is that Ben understands the significance of where a lot of the public action is going and where a lot of the sharp action is going on these games. I've already given out two major anti-public sides, Ben, Texas Tech and Maryland tonight. We can come back to that in a moment, but you posted and you tweeted out earlier today, the Washington Commanders have a win total of 10.5. Their highest since 2000, which, yes, was the last time that they were legitimately preseason thought of as a Super Bowl contender. So where does that sort of rank among the NFL over-unders that are out there?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Great intro music as well. Always appreciate a little Blue Oyster, Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult, yep.
So I was fascinated by this. I didn't even notice that these had dropped, but ESPN Bet had put them out kind of ahead of the market, and so they have win totals up. You can bet on. I said the calendar is still March, but I guess it's never too early for win totals. The Commanders at 10.5 is the second highest. There's four teams, kind of the teams you would expect: the Chiefs, Eagles, Bills, among them. At 11.5, but there's a couple teams at 10.5 along with the Commanders. And there's a great website, Sports Odds History, that kind of lists historical odds. It goes back to 1989. The Commanders have twice had a win total of 11.5, but this would be the third highest they've had since 1989. So going even further back, they're really not in double digits very often. And we tend to see that right as a reaction from obviously the NFC Championship game and all their success. It's difficult to replicate that. The line is shaded already to the under, but I think it's fascinating just that it's that high. And obviously, all of a sudden, that division looks very different coming into this season than it did coming into last season.
So, Ben, wait, let me just make sure I heard you correctly. They've been at 11.5 how many times going back to 1989?
Twice.
And which years were those?
That was that year 2000, and then I would have to look up the I can look it up while we're talking.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I think it could have been 91, the year that they went 14-2.
Early 90s, I think. second.
Yeah. It may have been 92 the year after they had the dominant season in 91 and won the Super Bowl, but there were high expectations of that team going in to the 91 season. I've actually referenced that 2000 season many times. All of us Skins fans have, because that was the first full offseason of the Dan Snyder, you know, ownership from hell, and they went out and just treated free agency like it was a fantasy football situation, and they signed Deion Sanders and Bruce Smith and Mark Carrier and Jeff George, and I'm pretty sure that the Rams were the favorite to win the Super Bowl, but I think Washington was the second favorite to win the Super Bowl, because it was coming off the greatest show on turf, the first Rams Super Bowl that year. But that was the last time that there were any reasonable high-level expectations entering a season. You know, looking at these bet totals, here's the number that I find surprising. I don't know why the Rams total isn't higher. It's at 9.5. That's somewhat significant. I think they've had an outstanding offseason, and we were talking about this the other day in terms of who the biggest threat to Philadelphia is in the NFC, and I think Washington's there, Detroit's there, but I'd put the Rams there too. What do you think?
For sure. I mean, they are a team. You're leaving out my Vikings there, but I'll overlook that. You know, we need a quarterback first.
You don't even know who your quarterback's going to be.
Exactly. Look, I think it's totally fair, honestly, as a Vikings fan last season when we drew the Rams and late in the last week of the season, right, is the question of whether kind of what the seeds were going to be. And the Rams kind of sat a bunch of people and ended up falling and facing the Vikings. I mean, they gave the Eagles probably the best shot, and were certainly right there. You could also make a case that they might have been in better shape if it hadn't been as bad weather, right? That may have favored the Eagles and those two long Saquon runs for touchdowns as well. So
right.
I think they have as good a shot as anyone. I think, obviously, it's a little difficult with the schedules just because you don't know. It's always fun projecting because you don't know who's going to be good, who's going to be bad, right? You think if you're playing the Browns, win total 4.5, probably going to be an easier game. But I think as we see in the NFL every season, right, some of these teams, you're facing, you know, the Chiefs with their backup quarterback, still a good team, very different than with Patrick Mahomes. So before the season, you're looking at it and saying, oh, man, we have to face the Chiefs or this other team twice. Well, if their quarterback gets hurt and the Cowboys, you're not facing them with Dak Prescott, for example, a very different team and how it lines up. But I think the Rams are there. They've done a great job rebuilding through the draft after they traded all those draft picks away all those years and kind of coming into a new era, trading, you know, getting rid of Cooper Kupp. And Matthew Stafford is a top 10 quarterback, if not higher. His biggest issue has been staying healthy, but he's always scary when he's back there. I think we saw that in the playoffs in both of those games. He was great in both of them, and they have as good a chance as anyone, I think, in the NFC, especially if you think the Niners are probably down a bit, the Seahawks with Sam Darnold down, and the Cardinals, again, probably always around that 500, too. So the division is a lot more open than it has been, too.
Yeah, and yet the Niners are sitting there with a 10.5, you know, over-under total. There's still a lot of belief in San Francisco from the odds makers, and I kind of get it. Like, they still have superstars, and if they stay healthy, which is always important, like you were just discussing, they still have Kittle, they still have McCaffrey if he's healthy, they still have Trent Williams if he plays 17 games, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. They're getting a lot of, still, from the odds makers, some off-season belief. We'll see if they get the Brock Purdy deal done, and if that gets that whole thing's interesting. Anyway, let's move to the games, because one of the reasons I follow you and I enjoy following you is you really kind of understand that some of us kind of bet based on just contrarian philosophies. So I like Texas Tech and Maryland tonight based on sort of contrarian handicapping. What do you think?
I think you're definitely in good shape with Maryland. I think if there's one game at multiple sports books that everyone is on, it's Florida to cover. Whether that's BetMGM, you're talking kind of 70% of the bets you know, 65-70% of the money on Florida to cover, even higher at other sports books. I think it's a fascinating game. I know you're covering certainly the coaching situation, which has to factor in as well. Hasn't been something that's been impacting the line yet, but is definitely something that has to impact kind of the game in some capacity. Florida is actually the only team that hasn't covered a spread that's in the Sweet 16, which I thought was interesting. They obviously blew out their first-round opponent, Norfolk State, but they were 28.5-point favorite. They won by 26. And then, obviously, a very close game against UConn. I think Maryland, it's really hard. This, to me, is a classic live betting game, right? Because I would have no idea what to expect from Maryland. That could be, the coaching situation could be the type of thing that derails a team. And Florida is very talented, so it could also be, hey, Florida, they're a great team. They had that one scare, and they kind of got it out of their system a bit. And that air of invincibility is gone. They ran through the SEC tournament, and all of a sudden, you know, you feel like, oh, my God, they're the number one team, and then they almost lose to UConn. So they could just come out and dominate, or Maryland could just keep it close the whole time. Could certainly win, too. They're an extremely talented team. But that's definitely one the public is on Florida to cover that game, which is not particularly surprising, I guess, because they're still number one seed. But I think the coaching situation is very interesting with Maryland as well.
And look, I thought about BYU. I think it makes sense to me that Alabama would be kind of, you know, the perception is SEC, high-scoring team. A lot of people don't know a lot about BYU, who, by the way, can score with the best of them. I kind of liked BYU, but I loved Texas Tech because it seems like everybody out there, all my buddies are saying Calipari for the limit.
Yeah, so this is one that's very split, I would say. It's closer to like 50-50, 55-45. Arkansas to cover, I think the vast majority of people and where you're seeing a lot of those bets is Arkansas to win, just Arkansas on the money line. We definitely see this in the tournament with people taking their shots, right? Even in the first round, taking, hey, I'm going to put a couple bucks on Wofford to beat Tennessee at 15-2, right? All the dogs. So that is definitely a game we've seen with Arkansas. I think they have some injury concerns as well. Just, you know, how much can Boogie Bland play and throw as well? Will he be active? Will he be 12 to 15 minutes? Will he be more? So there's some of that, I think, as well in that game. And Texas Tech, I think, also the same thing with Chance McMillan, I believe, their leading scorer, potentially playing, potentially 12 to 15 minutes. It's kind of, we won't really know probably until tip-off. So that's one where betting is a lot more 50-50. If that helps your decision, then Florida, which is definitely one-sided towards Florida.
And what are your thoughts on BYU and Alabama?
So this is one in the article I did for Yahoo. Despite the high total, and it is one of the – it is a total that's basically 20 points higher than any other Sweet 16
right.
game. One handicapper did like the over just because these are two of the top 10 most efficient teams on offense in the country. I think BYU is ninth and Alabama's fourth by KenPom. So these are teams that can obviously score. Another one likes BYU to keep it close. And so I'm actually seeing it back down to 4.5 at BetMGM. Might have just moved from 5.5. So I would lean BYU. I think it's also again, this was one initially there were some sharps on Alabama at 3.5, even I think at DraftKings it opened and at 4.5 to push it to 5.5. I think you're probably going to see some sharps on the other side that like it at 5.5. This is also, to me, a great live bet game because you're probably going to have some runs, right? And if Alabama's up 12 early, you can probably get a better number on BYU or vice versa. If BYU goes up early on Alabama, I would be very surprised at the low scoring game. Just two great offensive teams. And like you said, I don't think people know a lot about BYU, but they're a very good team. And certainly, you know, a sixth seed, I think people potentially were surprised at that. It should be a really fun game regardless to watch. It's great. It's the first game of the night.
We're talking to Ben Fox, Yahoo Sports. So Duke plays Arizona tonight. They're laying 9, 9.5, depending on where you're looking. I'm guessing that this is somewhat split, right or not?
So this is kind of the number two, I would say, in terms of the public, behind number one being Florida to cover is Duke. I think that you're seeing both people are going to take a shot on Arizona on the money line, but I think Duke to cover just in terms of the handle and just number of bets as well. It's more of a 60-40 split, but as opposed to Florida, which is more 70-30.
Yeah.
But I think that there's just Duke just seems a little bit inevitable. And just you also factor in that Cooper Flagg has another 3-4 days, right, of rest and recovery on that ankle. Certainly looks pretty good in the first couple of rounds. I think Duke just has arguably the most talent. I mean, you could say Auburn as well, of Florida, but they are up there, and I think they're almost always going to have the best player on the court in Cooper Flagg. And that option of, hey, there's 5 seconds left on the shot clock, we can give it to this guy and he's going to get a good shot or get fouled. And they're not a, you know, one-man band like some other teams. They have a ton of talent all over. So they're definitely a team the public is on. And I think sportsbooks are certainly rooting against to win it all as well, because there's a $500,000 bet on Duke out there. I think plus 350, there's a couple $100,000 bets on them to win it all. They're definitely the biggest hazard for sportsbooks remaining.
So that's the, I would imagine, right, that's the biggest liability moving forward. What's the second biggest liability? Florida?
I would say Florida, yeah. I think if they keep winning, Arkansas probably could be one, just because people are still going to get them at kind of those bigger numbers. But I think otherwise sportsbooks are in fairly good shape. Michigan State as well has had a couple, just because those teams that were not as highly ranked or did as well early in the season and potentially their odds were a little longer, like Florida, that's where the liability starts to add up. If you can get them at 30-1, 40-1, and all of a sudden they're a number one seed and they're, you know, plus 350, plus 400, there's a lot of liability that adds up over the course of the season. So those are two of the other ones.
I got 30 seconds. The game tomorrow that is intriguing to me is, I think it feels like the world's on Michigan State against Ole Miss. Am I right or wrong?
You are right. This opened 2.5 up to 3.5, 75% of the bets on Michigan State. Two of the guys in my article at Yahoo also like Michigan State. And it is tough to blame them, because Michigan State just looks like they have athletes all over the place. And even though they didn't play their best against New Mexico, they still came out and covered the original number of 7.5, even after being down double digits in the first half. So they look tough. Ole Miss, a great story, but somebody pointed out kind of who did they beat, UNC and an Iowa State team without its best player. So maybe a step up in class here, but it's still, you know, an interesting spread in that it's only 3.5 points.
Yeah, that's what, to me, it makes it look interesting to go the other way and take the points. Ben, excellent. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
Ben Fox, everybody, at BFox22 on X on Twitter. All right, Maryland predictions, Denton. Go ahead. You go first.
I want chaos. I want Maryland to win. You know, I wanted them to win, just generally speaking. You know, selfishly, it's much better for the show. If they win, it's much easier to do the show on Friday. If they win, you're going to be happy. The callers are going to be happy. But I also just want to see how far is this Kevin Willard thing going to go. So I'm going to take Maryland to win. I think they upset Florida. I think we have a very fun show tomorrow, both celebratory and then wondering what is happening with the head coach.
I like Maryland's chances tonight. I really do. I think the matchup is a good one for them. I don't think they've played their best basketball yet. I think if they shoot it well and they protect it and they rebound, I think this has, you know, 84-82 one way or the other written all over it. And I'll go with the Terps to get to the Elite Eight in a thrilling Sweet 16 game. Chris is next. Back tomorrow.